I'm going to bring a message this morning called Going Home. It'll mean more to the older folks than it will the younger folks. And maybe someday you younger folks, when you get older, you remember what this silver hair guy told you. And I'm not going to preach a lot, Brian, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to reminisce. I'm going to, at the end, I'm going to come on strong with one verse that God gave me to really, that I'm going to try to put in your heart in the book of Revelation. And then we're going to go home. So, but you bear with me today. And maybe as I reminisce and say some things, maybe the Holy Spirit of God will make you think of something that you would relate to. And hopefully I can be a blessing. I know this is what God told me to do when I was sitting in Toledo last Monday. I told Rose, I said, God told me to bring a message called Going Home. And then when I picked this up walking out the door, and it said Going Home, I had not seen this prior of Donnie. And I said, I know God's telling me to bring a message called Going Home. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 9. Maurice, I'm so glad you're here. You keep coming, son. You don't miss. You come every Sunday. It thrills my heart to see you. Preacher used to be young like you, and I used to be on the streets, and I'm glad God called me off those. I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're saved. And it just blesses me every time I see you. And blesses me to see each one of you, for that matter. I thank God for each one of you. And your uncle used to come here. Your Uncle Starks used to come here. He sure did. He was a great basketball player. He used to play for our church team. And Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. I'm going to focus on 61, but I'll read it all. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass. And by the way, it always does, doesn't it? And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. Man, God, you just tell me, I'll do it. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You ever wonder how we worry, and Jesus didn't even have a place? He didn't even have a home or nothing. Didn't have a job? Hello? You ever think about the Lord's life? How many are with me? I mean, earlier he was a carpenter and stuff, but I mean, think about his life. He didn't have any investments. I mean, we worry about what the future's going to be. He didn't worry about, he was our future. He is our future. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, watch what he says. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. In other words, before I serve you, let me go back home. Let me be with my mom and dad till they die. Let me see, it's hard to leave home. Are you still working? How many are still with me? Remember some of these thoughts I'm trying to give you. They'll understand them at the end. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, verse 61, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home, and my house. Boy, sure hard to leave home, isn't it? And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if we don't love Jesus more than we do anything in this world, I'm going to tell you, we're never going to, until you can put God first in your life, you're never going to amount to nothing for Christ. Amen. We got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what, no matter who. No matter anything, I'm going to put God first in my life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help me, Father. I wrote some things down, but Holy Spirit of God, I just pray now you'll give me utterance of what I'm supposed to say. You know what people need to hear. help me be your workman. Help me bring the thought that you gave me last week. Thank you for the truth and the blessing that you did give to me. And I pray, Father, that now I can be a blessing to my people. Bless Nick and Sheila on their honeymoon. Lord, bless their lives. I just pray you'll watch over the kids. And thank you for that special coming together, their holy matrimony yesterday. Continue to bless their life now, we pray. Give us a great day in church, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll note verse 61, let me go first. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home. First thing, let me go home. Let me go back to my own house. You know, there's just something about something special going home. There really is. There's something special about going home. We say, home, sweet, what? Yeah. There's just something about our homes that's special. There's something to it. I remember there was a great family. I love them. About 10 years ago, we had a family that moved out of town. And they owned property right there in Infirmary Road. And the Paytons were with Brother Stephen and Galen. Boy, I love them. They're precious. Still talk to them. He still calls me and gets spiritual advice sometimes. I pray with them. They're just great people, phenomenal. They had the house over there in Infirmary, not too far from where our land is. He put that house up for sale, and it went within, a day or so. I mean, it went immediately. I mean, I didn't know how Steve was going to sell. How can he had a good price on it, too? But the people that, when they saw that house go up, they said, we have to buy that house. I think they settled on, he got a good price for the home, trust me. And the reason they bought it, they said, we were born in that house. We grew up in that house. That home, we have great feelings and attachment to that home. I remember before I moved to Ravenna and growing up in Toledo, I grew up at 1956 Superior from 4 years old all the way up to 20. That's why I got married Rosie at 20. If I wouldn't have married Rosie, I'd have still been living there until my dad kicked me out. But I remember my dad passed away, and I remember my mom needed some money. Of course, the house was paid for, and so we moved back into the house and took Rosie and the kids and put about $4,000 or $5,000 in it, and they had the FHA come out and approve it, appraise it. After I made all the repairs, and then what they appraised it for, I gave that money to my mother. Amen? And I moved back into the home, my home that I grew up. My son David slept in the same bedroom that his daddy slept in. I was sleeping in my dad's bedroom now. And my son David was sleeping in my bedroom that I slept in as a little kid. I walked him and Tammy up the Superior Street, and there was a lady had buckeye tree down there, Mrs. Corning down there, about 8 houses from us, and we used to pick up the buckeyes, and everywhere that I went as a kid, D, I made sure my kids did the same thing. I mean, there's nothing like home. And you know, I noted this. It's hard to leave and break away from home. It's hard to leave and break away from home. It really is. Home is a comfort zone for us. We feel relaxed in our homes. We feel at ease in our homes. Can anyone say amen? Our home is like a refuge for us. We can plop our shoes off, let our little twinkly toes air out, and be what we want to be and just relax. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't care what's going on in the world. When you get home, wow, this is great. I'm home. The world can go crazy. I made it. I'm out of the world now. I'm back home. Nothing like going home. Are you still with me? We feel secure in our home. We feel safe in most in our home. Think back with me when you were a child. You older folks, think back with me when you were a child. You felt safe and secure at home because mom and dad were there to watch over us and take care of us. Amen. Remember when we were back with mom and dad? We had no problems. Think about it. We had no problems. Hattie, no clothes to wash? Mom did it. No meals to cook? Mom did it. No bills to have to pay? Dad paid for them. Don't be so fast to get out of your house, kids. Yeah, you're going to be wanting to come home. Once you leave, though, the mom and dad won't let you stay back. Stay back. I mean, no mortgage payments, no rent payments, no electric bills, no gas bills. Man, can I go back home? No car payments. Couldn't drive because I was too young. I rode my bike all the time. And my dad bought me my bikes. No food bills. My dad bought it all. Amen? I mean, think with me, you older folks. All we were concerned about, Brother Mark, the only thing I was concerned about when I was a kid, Rod, was what I was going to do the next day and who was going to do it with me. Hello? I mean, growing up as a child were special days at the old home. Can anyone say amen? I remember getting up in the mornings, eating cereal, Wheaties, breakfast of champions, or cream of wheat. Amen? How many remember that? And of course, Brian, I would always take my Ovaltine. The kids don't know what I'm talking about, but the older folks know. Ovaltine. How many remember those days? And man, I would get on my JCPenney bike or my Evans, whatever, at the time I was riding. By the way, I rode a bike till I was 18. Even after I owned a car, I still rode a bike. I'm telling you, I hated giving my bike up. And I'd grab my baseball glove. I'd have a pair of swimming trunks. I'd wrap them up in a towel, Bobby. And I'd go right over to Riverside Park, just a little ways from me. And I would play baseball all day. I love playing baseball. And I could hit a baseball a long ways. And then when those little wimps had to go home and eat lunch, because I used to get so mad because I didn't want to quit, I just would ride down to the pool. I'd go swimming. And while those little guys were wimping out, taking a break at home, I'd be swimming. No wonder I was in such great shape when I was a kid. And I mean, I would spend hours and hours and days at Riverside Park, just a few blocks from my house. I'm telling you, there would be days, there would be days that I wouldn't even want to come home. And my mom would have to send my dad over to the park and said, get old home, boy. Your mom said you ain't been there for 10 hours or something. You got to come home. Okay, Dad, because I never gave my dad no lip. How many know what I'm talking about? I remember always it was precious going back home after playing all day, and when I was tired, I couldn't wait to go back home and lay down and rest. I remember one time my dad taking me, 1959, he took me to a boat show and over to sports arena. We seen all these boats, and he said, Rich, next year I'm going to buy one of these boats. I'm going to work all year. I'm going to save my money up. And I'm going to buy a boat and a motor and a trailer. We're going to get a boat. We're going to go out in Lake Erie and catch a lot of walleyes and perch and stuff. He worked all. My dad was a worker. They said when he died, he was the greatest worker that Allied Chemical ever had. What a tribute. They said people did not want to work with my dad because my dad would not stop. He just would go. He wouldn't even take a break. And he would outwork two and three. Even when he worked 16 hours, the second eight, he would outwork the guys coming in fresh. He would outwork them. Yeah. And I remember that next year, 1960 came, and he said, okay, let's go to the sports arena, that boat show again. He had over $3,000 cash. Now, that's nothing today, but back in 1960, $3,000 was a lot of money. And I remember he found a 17-foot fiberglass Crosby with a 45 Mercury on it and a Gator trailer. And he paid that man cash. Boom, boom, boom. And within the next week, when they delivered that boat, we were out in the lake fishing. And I'm not telling you, we had some great days fishing in Lake Erie. A lot better than we did on that thing we went back in May. I'll tell you, Cap, I had some, even though we didn't have a big day on that charter, I had days where we slaughtered with my dad. We used to catch, you folks have been, there'd be nothing. You can go out and catch 200, 300 perch in a day within a few hours. You'd catch perch two at a time on stringers. Yeah, all my lines, as fast as you put it in your pole, you put bubble gum on. And sometimes I think just the scent of the, I think they sometimes they would bite on bare hooks and just had sense. Because you pull up two at a time, it was amazing. And they were, we had big perch when I was a kid, called yellow perch. They were big perch. And just some wonderful days. But boy, you know, after we'd fish all day long and that hot sun, and man, we don't get up early because you got to get up early in the morning. You've got the greatest fishing is, unless you're going to go night fishing for catfish, you want to go early for fish. Go out early in the morning. Boy, I want to tell you, Rod, after a long day, after 4 or 5 o'clock, and spent the whole day out there, you know, Leo, I was so tired and worn out from catching all them fish, and boy, we'd go home, and man, I couldn't wait to get home. Had a great trip, but boy, just going back home after that great trip and getting something to eat and being able to take a shower, take a bath, getting cleaned up and just feeling, there's nothing like, even though it was fun going, it was always great coming back home. How many know what I'm talking about? I remember going with my dad to hunting up the Maumee River. He had other boats too. He had small aluminum 12-foot boats and stuff like that for it. We used to duck hunt up in the Maumee River. And we used to hunt that Wires Rapids. I'd see ducks blot out the sun as a kid. There was nothing like to see 100 or 200 or 300 ducks come in at a time when I was a kid. Anderson used to feed. They stopped them. But they used to feed the ducks up there up in Maumee, Ohio. And, as a kid, I saw great things. We had wonderful days on the river with my dad. Matter of fact, even after he passed away, and many times, I didn't get to go this time, but a lot of times, I'd just drive up to the river and think about those days and reminisce in the days of old when I was home with my dad. How many know what I'm saying? Say amen. And I can remember Rosie's dad used to, we'd go up there with Rosie's dad and her brothers and the same place. My dad would hunt there. Rosie's dad would fish there. And he knew, I know where all the holes are. If you know where the holes are, you can slaughter those fish up there in Wires Rapids. And you want to go, I'll tell you. I'll give you give me $5 for every hole I'll show you. And we'll put it in the building fund. My dad used to take me up hunting. I saw lots of things as a kid. I've been blessed. If I died tomorrow, I had the greatest life a guy could ever have. Blessed beyond measure. My dad used to take me up hunting. I started hunting when I was around in the second grade. I think my dad, first or second, he made me walk with him without a gun. Then I moved up to a BB gun, I think. Then he gave me a 410, a 28. But as I grew, then six, by the time I got in the sixth grade or so, I was carrying a bigger gun. But we used to hunt up near Bowling Green called Liberty Center. And by the way, the Cleveland Browns hunted the same place. They liked shooting and having fun, and he'd pay $20 for us to have a special permit to hunt these lands. That was a lot of money back then, 1960, $20. And I would see pheasants. I'm not making this up. I would see pheasants go up in flocks as a kid. It's gone now. My kids would never, Lukey and them, Austin, they'll never see what I got to see as a kid. And rabbits, my land, everybody shoot four rabbits every day because there were so many of them. And a lot of great days. I remember. You ought to see them Cleveland Browns come up there. Boy, those Cleveland Browns, they would come, and they would bring about 5 or 10 dogs. And those big cornfields, Bob, those standing corn, we wouldn't do it. We'd stay. And boy, they'd put guys, Freddie, on the ends, and they'd push, woo, 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 woo. And they'd be going through them cornfields with them dogs and everything. And them birds would be, bah, 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 bah. We would stay over the opposite fields, man, you know. And I'm going back in the 60s, so whoever was playing for the Browns then, if you could meet somebody there, you ask them if they hunted over there in Liberty, near Bowling Green, they'll tell you, yes, they did. And they shot hundreds of them, probably more than what they were supposed to, because there was a lot of birds went down there. But I remember that. And I remember, boy, after walking all day, we'd walk those fields. Of course, I was a young kid, but I was in good shape. But even after, Colton, after walking all day in the fields, carrying that gun, man, I would get tired. It was about a 45-minute drive from where we were to back home. And boy, I remember I'd be so exhausted. And I remember sitting in the car, and my dad would drive us home. And I just kept looking forward. Although I had a great time and it was exciting, I was exhausted. I was tired. You know, when you're tired, there's nothing like home. Did you ever notice that? How many ever heard, I just want to get home? How many ever heard that or said that, man, I'm so tired, I don't care, I just want to get home? And there's something about going home, isn't there? And I can remember, I just said, boy, my dad take me. He'd drive that old 64 Chevy wagon, and he'd take us home, and I couldn't wait to get home. You know, in the years passed, and we had some special times. I remember when Rose and I first got married, we bought a house, right, two doors from Rosie's mom and dad. You had Rosie's dad's house, there was an alley, Aunt Leo, and then us. Like from here to my house, that's how far we lived from Rosie's mom and dad. We paid, for our first house, we paid $8,100. $8,100. You can't buy a garage for that now. And I bought these two little shrubs, Grandma, when we first got married. We've been married about a year. And by the way, when you get married, it's good to get your home. It's better than paying rent if you can. Always get an investment if you can. At least you got something you're owning. But I bought these little shrubs from Kmart. Probably paid about $1 for them, maybe 75 cents. And I planted them in the front yard. We went by there the other day, Brian. Those shrubs are over about 10 foot tall and maybe almost as wide. And I told Rosie, they almost covered the front of the house. I said, oh, my lands, Rosie. Who ever thought when we were kids? That's been like 40 years. 40 years ago, I planted them. And now they're over 10 foot tall. people should cut them down maybe, but I hope they don't hear my message. But it's almost covering the house. But it's amazing how things that you remember. Are you still with me? Stay with me. We used to meet. Stay with me for a few more minutes. I'll wind it up in just a minute here. We used to meet at Rosie's mom and dad's every Sunday for Sunday dinners. That's one thing. Rosie's dad put a great truth in me. Rosie's mom and dad were such, I loved them like my own parents. I loved them like my own parents. They were such great people. Man, every Sunday, we would meet there. I mean, first just me and all the kids, but then the kids got older, and they all got married. And so, there might be 20 to 30 people at Mom and Dad Cockrell's house every Sunday for dinner. And church people, and sometimes the preachers would come. And it you never knew who was going to show up at Rosie's dad. You just knew they were going to have a lot of food to eat. And the West Virginia people know how to cook. Man, they make good chicken. They make good chicken. I miss Rosie's dad's chicken. I'm going to tell you right now. And boy, we would stay with me because, this big old house at Rosie, it's a miracle that I never met Rosie. I grew up at 1956 Superior Street. All I had to do was go 10 blocks down on Summit Street, and Rosie was growing up. You know, I didn't even meet Rosie until I was out of high school, and we went to the same school together. Isn't that amazing? Anyways, we'd meet there every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. I remember when I first married Rosie, I didn't go like this, but I went there two or three, and then I said, well, I wasn't used to doing that. I mean, I like doing it, but, and so I said, you go ahead. I don't want your dad to think I'm a mooch. And he called and he said, Rich, what's wrong? I said, nothing, Dad. I was there for 2 weeks. I don't want you to think I'm a mooch. He said, you don't understand. We're family. This is our home. This is where all the family meets, at the home. You see, it's always great going home. And every Sunday, they had seven kids, by the way. She had two sisters, four brothers, and Rosie was seven. And they lost a couple when they were born. They would have nine or ten. But every Sunday we would go to, I mean, even after, I mean, every Sunday we would meet at Rosie's dad's house. Every Sunday. And have dinner. And Rosie has four brothers. And two of them, oh boy, Tommy and Henry. Tommy and Henry, boy. Tomboy and Henry were rascals. They were younger. And boy, we'd sit down, old Barbie, Rosie's sister. She'd go to get her coffee. You know, Tomboy, he stole her coffee. She'd get up. She'd grab her, take her coffee with her. He'd take her cake. Or they'd do something. And every week, every single Sunday, Ruth, I'm telling you, every Sunday, those boys were mischievous. And I couldn't wait to get there after church just to see what they were going to do. Because Barbie'd get all frustrated. I'm gonna kill you, you know. And they'd get Rosie, and they both the sisters. Well, I'm gonna get you boys out, and they just laugh and crack up, you know. One day, they even got me and Rosie good too. I think an 82 Buick. It's one I think I brought here when I moved here. They must have a couple weeks before. They must have measured it, how big it was. And they made a frame, and while I was in the bathroom or something, and we were eating, they crated that car. I'm not lying to you. We're eating. All of a sudden, I look out the window. I said, Rosie, look at our car. I mean, hundreds of cars going down Summit Street. I mean, that's a main drag. Hundreds of cars. By the way, that old house, all the big houses on Summit Street, like Rosie's house, there was like probably 14, 15 rooms. That was huge. It was one of those big old colonial homes, like from the 1890s, you know. Yeah, it's still there, you know. And, I mean, it went up and up and up, and then, you know, down and down, and they was like, they had four or five bedrooms upstairs, and one room had the pool, had the pool room in it. We used to go play with her dad all the time in the pool. The basement, you'd have the ping pong, and then we'd always play horseshoes on the side of the house. You know, there's just nothing like home, you know that? How many remember those days? But them boys, I walked out, I said, oh my lands. And every week, something was going on there. And you know, and Rosie's mom would say, boys, now, and John would just laugh. Yeah, he got a kick out just like I did, you know. And then as time went by, my dad passed away. And then Rosie's mama passed away. And then my mama passed away, and Tomboy passed away, and Richard Allen passed away. Of course, Dad Cockrell passed away. And boy, they were such a big part of our life. And you got to know him. You used to babysit him, I think. You used to watch him as a, yep. Debbie's mom knew Rosie's dad from West Virginia as a little boy. Yep. The big old garage. Mike had a big 2 or 3 car garage behind. A lot of you folks have met these people because they came up here lots of times. How many remember Grandpa Cockrell, Rosie's mom and dad and her family? They'd come up here lots of times. We've been here 20 years. He had a big old garage, and he'd paint cars and work on cars. Rosie's dad could fix anything. He could. I used to call him the miracle worker. And I remember all the cars he used to paint and all the painting coming, and just all the things that we did together. We did everything together as a family. We were that close. And our lives were all... You know, it's amazing how much our lives really surround our homes. You ever think about how much centered your life is around your home? And these last few years we'd go by, and because I really miss her dad. That's why when I thought your daddy died, I said, you go right now. You people that still got your mom and dad, you ought to hug them and tell them you love them today. Because I'm going to tell you, I really miss my mom and dad. And I really miss Rosie's mom and dad. And I really miss Tomboy, because Tom was so precious. And Tom was so special to our life. He'd wear these crazy, at Christmas time, he'd wear these moose ears and boom, boom, boom. He'd do that crazy song, that Christmas song they do, dun, dun, whatever it is. There's some stupid songs. Tommy liked doing stupid things. And we've been here 20 years, and I'm working up to this. Hold on. Give me a couple more minutes. I promise I'll stop. But every time we'd go back to Toledo, we'd always go by the old home. We'd always go by the old places that we grew up. We went by the schoolhouse that we went to school in, grade school. They tore mine down, and they also tore my high school down. None of that's there no more. But we always made sure, Arlene, we'd go by the old house on Superior and the old house on Summit Street. This last week we went there, and the old house on Summit Street that played such a big part in our life. And in tears, we looked at it, and I told Rose, I said, "Boy, I sure miss your dad. And I sure miss your mama. And I really miss Tomboy." And I said, "Rose, I wish we could bring it. I wish I could take us back in time." I said, "I wish I could just take us back in time and put us all back home together with our families. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if you could go back in time and have your families again?" We used to play a little marble. Tommy used to made a marble game, kind of like this game called Parcheesi. Tommy made his own game. We called it marbles, and there's four people can play it. And we used to always play marbles, Mom and Dad, and then the winners would take the loser's place, and we'd have more fun. Donnie and Barb would play, and matter of fact, they got so big, they had two or three games going at Rosie's dad's house all the time. Everybody had a board playing marbles. Marbles. All you did is run around the board and go inside these four little sections, like Parcheesi. And I told Rosie, I said, "It'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. Now we've got to make it special for our kids. I've got to make it special for Ray Ray. Grandpa's got to make it special for Nat Nat and Tippy Brooke and Lukey and Aust. I got to make it special for them. Because we can't bring back those days of our family. Those are all gone." And I said, "Boy, I wish I could just bring them back." And I, in tears, I cried. I said, "Rosie, if I could bring it back for you, I would. But I can't." And I was sitting at the funeral, looking at my brother-in-law, and I was thinking, well, we had great years with Donnie. See, Donnie was a lot like me. He married Rosie's sister. We married sisters. He's just a little bit younger. I've known him for like 40 years. When we both married the sisters, we both had dark hair. We both had straight bellies. At the end, we both had big bellies. I don't know. We were both about. Yeah, he might have even been bigger than me. And one thing, though, we both turned silver, but he lost a lot of his. But I kept, at least I got something on the top. He was losing. Donnie was a mechanic, and he was a handyman. And he even raced a few years at the track, the speedway there, number 44. And Tommy, Donald Duck? Donald Duck. And so Tommy started calling Donnie Duck. "Hey, Duck. Hey, Duck." You know, that took hold. For years, what's your name, Duck? They'd have shirts. Big Duck. Little Duck. Because he had Little Donnie. Their boy named Little Donnie. By the way, Little Donnie's 6'5". He's 6'5". And they said, "Big Duck, Little Duck." And Little Duck was a foot bigger than Big Duck. A pretty near 6 inches, maybe. But all the fun, we had with Donnie, and now he's gone. And I was sitting there listening, thinking, "Boy, Tomboy's in heaven. Mom and Dad Cockrell's in heaven. They told me Donnie got saved about a year ago. Donnie's up there with him too." And I thought, wow! I grabbed Barbie. I said, "You know what? I think I know what Don's doing right now. I'll bet you Tommy got the marble board out. And I bet you they're playing marbles again. Because now there's four of them. There's enough of them to do it. And I got thinking. One day, we're all going home. And I told Rosie, look at this last scripture. And I hope I can give it to you where you can get it. Look at Revelation chapter 21. If you're saved today, look at 21:1 through verse 5. And I saw a new heaven. I'm in Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Are you with me in Revelation 21? And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And look at verse 4 and 5. That's what I want you to see. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. And there shall be no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? And he said, behold, he that sat upon the throne said what? Behold, I make all things new. And I got thinking, boy, God just came down and hugged me. Mark, I'm sitting there thinking, and Mark, God just came down and hugged me. He said, you know what? You told Rosie you can't bring it back, but I can. Amen. You see, one day, we're all going to be on the other side. One day, we're all going home. Can anybody say amen to me? One day, we're going to be all together. And when we're all together, Sister Clary, when we all get together this next time, we're all going to be home. Amen. And it'll never say goodbye again. Amen. We're going to be home. We're going to be home. We're going to be home. And and the home is going to be there forever. I won't have to drive by a house where they're not there. I won't have to see a house that's collapsed and people gone. Because when we get home, we're always going to be together. See, I couldn't bring it back for Rosie, but my Savior is going to bring it back for us. And Brother Scott, Brother Mark, one day we're going home. We're going home. We're going home. And when we get home, brother, hallelujah, we're home forever. We're home for good. Can anyone say amen? Amen? And when we get home with all our loved ones, we're never going to have to say goodbye again. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I can't wait to go home. Because one day, God, Brother Billy, is going to restore my home and my family all back together again. And we're never going to have to say ever again goodbye. Because once we get back home, I can't wait to get home. Because once we get back home, Mom and Dad are there. Our sisters and brothers are there. And God says, this time, you're home for good. I can't wait to go home. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I can't do nothing about this life, but I'm glad that God, when I get home on this journey, I'll be glad when I get home, I'll be able to see my family again. And we'll never say goodbye ever again. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of our heavenly home. Thank you for the promise that one day our families, our loved ones that are saved, we're all going to be together again. We're all going to meet for Sunday dinners again. We're all going to have that fellowship and joy again. And it never will be. Never, ever will be taken away from us ever again. Because we made it home. We made it home. We made it home. Thank God. Jesus makes all things new. And we made it home. We made it home. Oh, it's going to be a great day when we all get home and we're back together again. And we're home. And we're home. Thank God. We've got a home to go to. Thank God the home's real. It's a place of safety, place of security. And it's an eternal home that can never be taken away. It's called heaven. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't miss that home. We're going home. I hope you're going home too. How many can say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. And I know when I die, I'm going home to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that type? Pray for me this morning. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to miss out on heaven. Father, help us, I pray. Help us to think about that heavenly home. Going to see Dad Cockrell. See our mom. See Tomboy. We're going to have fun again at the table. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have fun sitting together at the table with all our family. And it's going to be just... it's going to be better. It's going to be better than it was ever. Even though it was great when we were here, it's even going to be better than that. And it'll never be taken away again. So glad for home. So glad for home. Dear God, help us to get excited about going home. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. Of the joys we know, on this earth below there are few that can compare to the caring touch of those we love. Special times we share.
Be a pure
There's
river.
So much to tell.
Clear crystal.
But we say farewell, and the
and I'll
happy
go with my dad.
Times must
we'll
end.
We'll go to the river where God made.
We cling silently to our memories and trust we'll meet. It's a land where we'll never as we walk this life. Let us flee from strife, for our times are in God's hand. Let our heart's cry be, may Christ be seen in me. Let us love and understand. Bind up broken lives, embrace sinful souls.
We got the promise, we that are saved,
to that we're going home.
And when we get there,
on heaven's shore,
we'll never have to say goodbye
we
again.
Will part no more, and night will never be. For there's a land where we'll never say goodbye again. It's a
pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Father, that we have the promise of a home that's safe and secure. Lord, one day we'll all be together, Lord, if we know you as our Savior. I pray, Father, now you'll send us away with thy blessings and bring us back at the appointed hour. We love you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.